Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAI Argentina to the World in English. This is the foreign service of Argentina's public national radio, broadcasting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, on the frequency of 5800 kHz. We are also streaming, or actually uploading, our shows as podcasts to our website, which is rai.com.ar, and not only our regular shows in eight languages, but all kinds of podcasts about various topics, an update on the COVID pandemic, regional news, science, technology, culture, music, all kinds of things related to Argentina and Latin America are available as audio podcasts that we upload to our website, rai.com.ar. And also on our website, you can find the timetable for shortwave transmissions via WRMI. My name is Fernando Farias, and I bid you welcome to a new show of RAI Argentina to the World in English, a program corresponding to Wednesday, September 8, 2021, that I'm hosting from my home studio in Buenos Aires City, but not from the studios of RAI that we haven't been to since the beginning of the pandemic in March 2020. In order to prevent infections, we have been working remotely. The station has been operating like this since March 2020, producing weekly shows instead of daily shows. But the return to the studio looks nearer now, with low numbers of infections, of daily infections, and a pretty good advance of the vaccination rollout. Sooner or later, we're going to be returning to the studios over there at Maipú Street in central Buenos Aires, and we'll be able to have all the necessary gear, equipment, human resources to bring you daily programs between Mondays and Fridays. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrai@gmail.com. I repeat, qslrai@gmail.com. If the reception report is correct, we'll reply with a digital QSL card. Write down this email, qslrai@gmail.com. On today's program, as usual, we're going to have the regular news update of Argentina and the region of the past week, the most important news stories, and we're going to be sharing some nice music from Argentina. If you like the sound of the 80s, synthesizers, that kind of thing, stay tuned, because you're going to listen to something very interesting coming from Argentina, a brand new group. All right, folks, let's get started right away with the headlines of today's news. Argentina formally protests against Chile for declaring sovereignty over a portion of the South Atlantic. Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro threatened the Supreme Court and was called a coup monger by critics. Argentina goes to the polls for the first time since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, while infections continue to decrease. Despite the ongoing talks with the opposition in Mexico, Venezuelan President Nicolás Maduro says there will be no amnesty for anti-Chavez leader Juan Guaidó. El Salvador's Supreme Court enabled presidential re-election despite street protests and international warnings. In a scandal that goes beyond sports, health authorities in Brazil interrupted the Brazil-Argentina World Cup qualifying game. And here are the news at RAI Argentina to the World. Argentina formally protested against Chile for declaring as its own some 5,000 square kilometers of maritime territory in the South Atlantic. In an official note, the Argentine Foreign Ministry condemns what it deems as Santiago's expansive vocation and questions in all its terms the decree that triggered this controversy. It should be recalled that 2 weeks ago, Chilean President Sebastián Piñera signed a resolution updating the naval charts of the Transandean country. In the new maps, a crescent-shaped fragment in the Drake Passage that links the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean appears as Chilean territory. But according to Buenos Aires, this constitutes a violation of a 1984 treaty that settled the Beagle Channel dispute that nearly brought the two South American nations to war in 1978. According to that pact, in which the Vatican was the mediator, starting from the southern tip of the continent, the 67th meridian establishes the maritime limits between Chile and Argentina. According to this agreement, Chile advances to the west of the line, whereas Argentina advances to the east. But in the new Chilean map, the disputed territories are clearly to the east of the established border. In addition, the Foreign Ministry stressed Santiago's claims are also advancing more than 20,000 kilometers of maritime territories that are World Heritage Sites. Last Friday, despite Buenos Aires' complaints, Mr. Piñera ratified his position and said that Chile is simply exercising its legitimate rights. The president also affirmed that claiming that area is an obligation and that his government's action has the support of all political parties in Chile and former presidents. Notwithstanding these frictions, both governments have ratified their intention to resolve the dispute through dialogue. The political and institutional crisis in Brazil continues to escalate, with a confrontation between the government of President Jair Bolsonaro on the one hand and the Congress and Supreme Court on the other. This past Tuesday, September 7, thousands of Bolsonaro supporters marched in several cities in response to the president's call to demonstrate against the highest court. In capital Brasilia, security was reinforced around the Palace of Justice in fears that it would be invaded or storm, as it had happened in Washington last January during the last days of Donald Trump's presidency. At the event, the sound of war tanks implosions was heard in a reminder of the explicit support for the head of the state expressed by wide sectors of the Brazilian armed and security forces. Before the rally, Mr. Bolsonaro had given an ultimatum to the court, which many labeled as a coup threat. In a message to his followers, the president warned, and I quote, "Or the head of the court will bring his own people into line, or this power, the judiciary, may suffer what we do not want." End of quote. The president and the judiciary are at odds over the electoral system, the management of the pandemic, the spread of fake news and judicial cases against him, as well as officials, relatives, and allies of his. In another rally in São Paulo, Mr. Bolsonaro swore, "Only God will take me out of Brasilia." Several analysts see in the attack against the courts an attempt by the president to shore up his administration, which, according to polls, has a negative rating of over 60%. In addition, according to surveys, he would lose the 2022 elections against his almost certain rival, former President Lula da Silva. Lula in turn criticized his successor in harsh terms on Twitter, where he said, "Instead of announcing solutions, he calls people to confrontations, to insurrect against institutions and democracy. And this is not what Brazil expects from a president," sentenced the former head of state who governed the South American giant between 2003 and 2010. Coronavirus infections continue to fall in Argentina and are at their lowest level in a year, as is the occupation of intensive care beds. On Monday, September 6, for example, less than 4,000 new cases and 162 deaths were recorded. In this context, this Sunday, the first elections will be held in the country since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. In these midterm parliamentary elections, authorities have set up more polling stations to avoid crowds and prevent infections. In another development, the Argentine government presented a digital credential for traveling abroad and proving vaccination against coronavirus. The certificate will be uploaded to an application for cell phones, which will be presenting a QR code to be scanned by immigration officials around the world. Meanwhile, Argentina has already received more than 57 million vaccines, and the arrival of the first batch of Pfizer jabs is expected for this week, which would be 260,000 doses, according to official sources. It should be recalled that the Argentine government contracted a total of 20 million doses with the US laboratory, which carried out part of its Phase 3 trials in Argentina between August and November 2020. Out of a population of more than 45 million people, 28 million received at least one application, and more than 16 million have completed their immunization schemes. In this context, President Alberto Fernández highlighted the rollout as the fastest in Argentina's history, and celebrated that not only did it save lives, but it also is making possible an economic recovery. Regarding this economic reactivation, Mr. Fernandez predicted that growth in 2021 will be 7% higher compared to 2020, and highlighted that exports are at their highest level in the last 8 years. Meanwhile, Cuba became the first nation in the world to begin vaccination for children between 2 and 11 years of age using its own COVID vaccines called Soberana and Abdala. Chile, in turn, approved the application of the Chinese-made CoronaVac jab for children between 6 and 12 years of age. According to the Venezuelan government, there were advances in the negotiations with the opposition taking place in Mexico with the mediation of Norway. The Norwegian embassy in Mexico published on social networks the first photo of both delegations around the table, while highlighting the participation of Russia and the Netherlands in the dialogue. This process is based on a memorandum of understanding on some basic points of discussion agreed at the beginning of last August. The anti-Chavismo camp demands guarantees to participate in the elections and commitments on political rights, among other items. In turn, the government of President Nicolás Maduro demands the end of economic sanctions imposed by several states, mainly the United States, on Venezuelan financial assets. The opposition delegation in Mexico clarified that nothing has been agreed yet, despite its head, Gerardo Blight, acknowledging the need for, and I quote, "all of us to lower our arrogance in order to move forward in the talks." Despite these promising signs, Mr. Maduro ruled out that in Mexico impunity, and I quote, will be given to the main opposition leader Juan Guaidó, whom several governments around the world recognize as president in charge of Venezuela. The Chavista leader said on TV last weekend, "I dream of the day when Guaidó pays," end of quote. In other news from Latin America, a scandal shakes Chile as it became known that one of the vice presidents of the brand new Constitution Assembly lied when he said he was suffering from cancer. Rodrigo Rojas Vade had assured that he had been fighting leukemia for years and that his case reflected the inequality in access to healthcare in Chile, and this was one of the main demands of the 2019 protests, in which he emerged as one of the main figures. However, in a video released over the weekend, Rojas Vade admitted that he never had cancer and that instead his ailment is another one which he did not name. After the confession and the ensuing controversy, The activist presented his resignation to the convention that is working on a new constitution to replace the one sanctioned by the dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet back in 1980. In El Salvador, the Supreme Court authorized the re-election of President Nayib Bukele, and he will be able to run for a second term in the 2024 elections. The highest court interpreted that the Salvadoran constitution establishes that presidents may remain in office for up to 10 consecutive years. But according to Bukele's critics, this ruling ignores that in reality, they say, the Magna Carta of El Salvador indicates that presidents must wait a decade after the end of their term to run again. It should be recalled that several of the magistrates of the court were recently appointed by a majority pro-government parliament after dismissing judges who were at odds with the government of Bukele. Because of this action, the UN Rapporteur for Judicial Independence, Peru's Diego García Sayán, said he was dismayed by what he called authoritarian measures of Mr. Bukele and his allied assembly. For its part, Human Rights Watch warned that democracy in El Salvador is on the brink of the abyss. Meanwhile, the US government said that the Salvadoran court's ruling undermines democracy, and Washington recalled that the Salvadoran constitution prohibits re-election. The 40-year President Bukele came out strengthened from the last legislative elections, in which his party, called New Ideas, obtained almost 70% of the votes. This resounding victory allowed him to move forward with controversial measures such as the removal of judges and, for example, the implementation of Bitcoin as legal tender in El Salvador starting on September 7. In other regional news, in Nicaragua, the courts sent three opponents to trial under the accusation of undermining national sovereignty and promoting foreign intervention. In recent months, more than 30 leaders opposed to the government of President Daniel Ortega have been arrested on the same charges. Among those arrested are several presidential pre-candidates that were planning to run in the upcoming November 7 elections. But these arrests mean that Mr. Ortega will seek his fourth consecutive term in office, facing almost no significant rivals. And now, finally, sports. The match between Argentina and Brazil in the qualifiers for the Qatar 2022 World Cup ended in a scandal that goes beyond sports. It was not 6 minutes into the match at the Neo Química Stadium in the city of São Paulo when agents of the Brazilian health agency, Anvisa, entered the field and forced the suspension of the match. The Anvisa staff were looking for four Argentine players who, according to them, had violated coronavirus protocols in force in Brazil. The players in question were Emiliano Martinez, Cristian Romero, Giovanni Lo Celso and Emiliano Buendia, who all play in the English Premier League. According to Anvisa, the four Argentines had falsified their affidavit when entering the country and omitted to say that they had been in the United Kingdom, a risk country according to Brasilia, less than 14 days earlier. The Argentine team left the field after a few minutes, while the Brazilians remained for almost an hour until the match was formally suspended by the referee. The Argentine Football Association, the AFA, assures that the controversy over the four Premier League players had been settled before the start of the match. According to the AFA, both FIFA and CONMEBOL, which is the highest authority in South American football, had authorized Martinez, Lo Celso, Buendia and Romero to play. But Anvisa and the Brazilian government in turn claimed that no agreement had been reached and that CONMEBOL was notified 50 minutes before the game that the four men had to leave the country. The controversy will now be resolved by FIFA, which opened proceedings for each party to present its respective position. World Football's governing body, may order the match to be resumed or grant the 3 points of the match to one team or the other. In addition, Argentina closed in Tokyo 2020 its best participation in the Paralympic Games since Atlanta 1996. Our country's delegation, made up of almost 60 athletes, returned with 5 silver medals, 2 in athletics and 2 in swimming, and 1 in football, thanks to the national team that is nicknamed Los Murciélagos, the Bats, that lost 1-0 in the final against Brazil. Argentina also won 2 bronze medals at the Paralympics in athletics, 1 in shot put and 1 in taekwondo, in addition to 31 Olympic diplomas. At the closing ceremony in the Japanese capital, the Argentine delegation's flag bearer was the Bats' top goal scorer, Maximiliano Espinillo, who scored 7 goals during the entire Olympic tournament. The Tokyo 2020 Paralympic Games medal tally was led by China with 207 medals, followed by the United Kingdom with 124 and the United States with 104. And these were the news on Rai Argentina to the World. Folks, let me remind you that if you want to get in touch with us, you have to send an email to qslrai@gmail.com, any kind of message. But if you're at the Exeter and you want to send a reception report, you may also use this email address. And if the reception report is accurate, we're going to be replying with a digital QSL card. The address is qslrai@gmail.com. Now we move on to our segment New Argentine Sounds that we jointly produce at RAE with FM Nacional Rock, National Rock FM, one of the stations part of the Argentina National Radio Network that also broadcasts from Maipú 555 here in Buenos Aires. They are mainly devoted to promoting new artists of the rock, hip-hop, pop, trap scene, basically new genres. Because we also have stations that broadcast folk music, tango, and more, so to speak, traditional styles. But Nacional Rock is dedicated to younger music, and we've got a segment in which we focus every week on brand new releases by not so well known artists, in order to give them some airtime and help them in getting to be known by the public. And this week, we've got something pretty interesting to share with you as part of this cycle. A band from the city of Concordia in the province of Entre Ríos called Maniquí, which is the Spanish for mannequin, and they are a 6-piece that are making their debut with an album called Maniquí, just like the name of the group. And according to them, their sound merges the sounds of the 80s with the sounds of what they consider to be the yet unwritten future. And this first single that we're gonna be sharing is called ARP, to honor the classic 70s synthesizer ARP Odyssey, with which so many classic tunes of the 70s and early 80s were written. And pay attention to this beginning, because it's pretty clear an ARP synthesizer sound. This is Maniquí with ARP.
Nada para vos. Una jaula, cóctel de migrañas. Yo mejor me voy. ser un ave más, pero el destino traicionó. Siempre añoraste volar y volar, y alguien sin alas te dejó. Esta historia abunda en mi memoria desde que nací. Olvidamos todo lo que soñamos por sobrevivir. Con una máscara te cubrirá y perderás tu libertad. Despierta, nena, ya no esperes. Tomar las decisiones, nada para vos. Una jaula, cóctel de migrañas, yo mejor me voy. Con una máscara te cubrirá y perderás tu libertad. Despierta, nena. Ya no esperes más, nunca es tan tarde para amar. Y ahora resulta que esta vez no todo el mundo está al revés. Siempre hay canciones que te inspiran, mi vida. Siempre hay canciones que te inspiran, mi vida.
Really love this track. I really like this sound, especially that beginning, no? This sounds like Stranger Things, isn't it? No? Very, very, very 80s. And this track is called just like a synthesizer, one of these iconic synthesizers of the late 70s and late 80s, used to record so many classic hits of that era. And this is an Argentine group called Maniki, and the track's called ARP, just like the ARP Odyssey synthesizer, a track that we have introduced as part of our regular cycle Argentine New Sounds. If you want to learn more about these bands, go to our website riot.com.ar and you'll be able to listen to all of this music. And with this, we come to the end of this week's edition of Riot Argentina to the World, program for Wednesday, September 8, 2021. My name is Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening. Keep taking care, and we'll meet in a week. Ciao. Hasta la próxima.